Well, I want to add to what Nathan said, and I want to just welcome you. We're glad that you're with us today, whether you're in the Dayton area or whether you're somewhere in the U.S. or somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us as we are looking into God's Word, as we're worshiping together, as we are online, soon to be in person. You know, I just want to review with you so that we are all on the same page. COVID hit. And we didn't really know what was going on. I don't think anybody really knew what was going on, and it hit. And so we had to close pretty much everything down, and we went to an online-only service in all of our campuses, and we did our best to try to create a service that would be engaging online so that you could participate, and your families could participate, and your small groups could participate. And then as time went on, it felt like it was time for us to come back. We were missing it. I don't know about you, but I miss pre-COVID Fairhaven. And if you do as well, why don't you just put right in the chat section, I do as well. I miss it, or whatever you want to say there. But we decided that we needed to gather in person. And so we put all of our services back in place, and we began to gather in person on all of our campuses. And then we found out that in our area, in the counties in which our campuses reside, that the cases were rising. And by the suggestion of some of our local leaders and state leaders who asked us if we would be willing to be a part of the solution, we decided 4 weeks ago that as a community of faith that we would close back our campuses and go back online. And that was a very painful decision because it's hard. We want to be in community. We want to see each other. We want to worship together as safely as possible. And so that was a very hard decision. But as Nathan said, we got great news for you. In 2 weeks, September the 6th, when we have Communion Sunday, we're going to gather back again in person, meaning that we have all of our campuses ready. We are going to go every other row. We're going to ask you to sit two or three people seats away from people that you didn't come with or friends that you're already spending time with so that we can keep the social distancing. There's going to be no tickets at all. We're going to go 50% occupancy in all of our campuses, and we hope that you'll come. And if you can't come, we hope, as Nathan said, you'll join us online, as we're going to create two experiences, and really both of them are for us to engage with Jesus, to experience Jesus. And so I'm really excited about the fact that we're going to be opening up for the entire fall. We're going to have one service, and if it grows, we'll have a second service. And if it grows, we'll go to a third service, whatever we need to do. But we're going to have an in-person gathering starting in 2 weeks, and we'll start with communion. And so, church, I hope you'll come out. For those of you that feel ready to do that, we are going to ask you to wear a mask, and you can bring your kids, and they can wear masks as well. And we're going to worship like we can, even with masks on, and we're going to listen to God's word. And I'm going to take my mask off, and we're going to look here, and I'm going to speak, and so that we can together look at God's word. And so I'm very, very excited about this. And so I hope you'll join us. We actually have an announcement on the website. So maybe if you want to get some details, you can actually go to the front page. At the very top, it says September activities. You want to click that, and there's a video from me there along with some instructions. And so I hope you'll join us. Well, we are starting a brand new series today, and the series is entitled Gut Check. Maybe the byline of it is seek and know. Psalm 139, verse 23. You know, as we've been thinking through our health, as there's been lots of conversations around my dinner table, and I'm sure your dinner table, and with friends, and as you walk around the community, no matter where you are really in the world, there's conversations about our physical health, where we're thinking about making sure that we wash our hands, and I want to encourage you to do that, where we have things that we can keep our hands clean, where we wear masks, and where we want to make sure that we're, you know, 6 feet away to keep our distance from each other. And those are all good things because we care about our physical health. But you know, over these last 6-8 weeks, and in fact a couple of months, I have been processing in my own life about the fact that I care about my physical life, but I care more about my spiritual life. And this next series is about us taking a gut check, or turning and looking inside of ourselves to ask ourselves, are there any lights on the dashboard of our spiritual lives that have come on? That as we've gone through this season, difficult season, there's lots of people in pain. There are people who have had weddings where very few people can come. There are funerals where very few people can come. There are babies being born where grandkids can't see them. I was one of them, where you couldn't see them for weeks and weeks. And we have family members that are stuck in different places of the country. It's very, very difficult. And yet, as we think about our spiritual lives, that's equally as important. I think you'd agree with me, right? And in fact, if you want to, you can just say, yeah, I agree, because our spiritual lives are equally as important as our physical lives. The truth is, this life is not all there is. I'm not saying that we should be careless, and I'm not saying that we should be cavalier. What I'm saying is that as we're thinking about our physical life, I was impressed by God that we should be thinking about our spiritual life. And we're going to be taking a gut check, and we're going to seek, and we're going to know God in our lives. Let me define what a gut check really is, because it might help us as we're thinking about this series over the next 7 weeks together. A gut check is a pause to assess the state or the progress or the condition of something in life. And we're going to take a gut check of our own spiritual lives. This is a series where you get to look in. This is a series where you get to look at your own spiritual life, different aspects of our spiritual life. This is an opportunity where you can have a conversation with your friends or your spouse, and maybe they could even give some insight, because oftentimes the people that we know the most can give us the greatest input into our lives. And so this is a series where we're looking in. You know, this is not something that we've just come up with ourselves. The reality is this has been happening for thousands and thousands of years. And as I was reading this psalm, it dawned on me that David, in Psalm 139, verse 23, he said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He wanted a gut check. He was asking God to help him to be clear and to be honest about what was going on in his own life. And know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting, or lead me in the path that makes sense, or lead me in the path that will cause me to be able to have the kind of life that we should have with God. And so this series, as we think about gut check, is about you and me looking at our lives. And as I was impressed about that in my own life, I began sort of asking these questions. So I'm a little bit ahead of you in this, but I began asking some questions. And over these next 6-7 weeks, we're going to be looking at different aspects. And so we want to think through this. Here's what I would say as we begin this series. You see, we won't imitate God. We're not going to imitate God if we don't regularly pause. If we don't do what David did thousands of years ago and say, "God, search me. I want you to know my heart. Would you help me understand who I am? Would you help me understand who you are? Would you help me to understand how you see me?" We won't imitate God if we don't regularly pause and ask him what he sees in us. And so that's what this series is about. This series is about asking God to search that we might know what's going on, a gut check in our spiritual lives. Well, let's get started. Let's jump in. I hope you grab your Bibles with me. We're going to be in the New Testament. We're going to be in John, actually, and I'll tell you where in just a second. Today, we're going to start with a gut check and asking about my walk with Jesus, or your walk with Jesus. That's a great place to begin. Where are we in our life with Jesus? Where are we in the engagement of Jesus in our lives? You see, we don't need COVID to realize that a walk with Jesus is paramount. We don't need a season like COVID to understand that. It's true regardless. It always has been true that a life with Jesus on a regular basis, a walk with him, where we understand and have a rhythm with Jesus in our life, has always been paramount. It's always been important. But what I have discovered, and maybe we will discover together over these next weeks, is that a season like COVID gives us a great opportunity to stop and take a gut check, to look at our lives and to ask, how are we walking with Jesus? What does that look like? Because of the pressures that are coming from all the external things in life and culture, and because of all the things that are going on, and the emotions and all those things that we struggle with. And this is exactly why Jesus said what he said to his disciples 2,000 years ago. And so if you got a Bible, I wish you'll turn with me, because my Bible is open to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is a very, very familiar passage. As a matter of fact, if you were to study John 15, you could find volumes and volumes and volumes on these short 11 verses. And what I'm going to try to do today is to inspire us to take a gut check in thinking through how is our relationship with God? What is the connection in our walk with Jesus like? Is it where it needs to be, or is there something that we ought to be thinking through as Jesus made these comments? John chapter 15, let's start in verse 1. I'm going to read the whole thing for you, actually, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some important things that Jesus says in here. He says this in verse 1, I am the true vine. You may want to circle the word true. And my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus makes a revolutionary statement. I put in your notes, if you want to, on the internet, and you can drop it, or on the app. The symbol or the metaphor of the vine is something that you can see all through the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it's a symbol of Israel. The temple itself had golden vine with grape clusters hanging from it as a symbol of Israel, as a symbol. The vines and grapes was a symbol of God's blessing. The imagery flowed all through the Old Testament. I could take you almost through many, many different passages. In the notes that I've given you, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Psalm 80, Jesus places himself in place of the temple, and he says, I am the true vine. Now, I don't know how to explain this to you, except just to kind of wrestle this down a little bit with you. I can just imagine the disciples saying, did he really just say that? Did Jesus just really say that he is the vine? Because in their minds, they would have thought of Israel. They would have thought of the temple. And it was even on their coins that they had, the grapes that were there. And the vine is a symbol of all that. And they probably were looking around going, did you hear what he just said? I cannot believe he just said that. I am the true vine. It was a revolutionary statement. And we don't really understand this metaphor because many of us have not taken care of vineyards in our life. We don't know what vine dressing is really all about, and I hope to try to explain some of that. So let's read on. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That phrase hit me hard. It's so easy in our life to get distracted with all the external things happening in life. And sometimes we don't pay attention to the spiritual dashboard. And it's time for us, perhaps right now during this season, to take a gut check and to ask ourselves, are we leaning on our own strength? Are we trying to get through this? And it's so hard. And the emotions and all the things that we're dealing with. And Jesus says right here, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burn. And if you want to, you can put a line right there before verse 7, because verse 7, he begins to talk about what the fruit looks like. As we abide in Jesus, as we connect with Jesus, he begins to describe what that fruit actually looks like. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's powerful. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, all the things that he just mentioned, as we take a gut check of our own walk with Jesus, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Wow. Jesus says you can have joy that's just overflowing. That's incredible. Let's dive in and let's take a look at this metaphor that Jesus talks about. I want you to notice right away in verse 2 that Jesus says, every branch in me. Jesus is talking to followers. This is a passage that if you read certain books, some scholars will say it describes different people in different places in their journey with Jesus. But when I read the context of this, and I read chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, it's very evident to me that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he uses very strong language, because if you're going to take a gut check, there's work involved. We have to take a good, hard look. We have to search and to know what's going on spiritually in our own lives. And Jesus says, every branch in me. He's talking to followers of Jesus Christ. So if you're joining us today and you're not sure whether you've actually surrendered your life, you're going to be enticed today. You're going to be enticed into a relationship with Jesus because not much else makes sense. And Jesus is so loving in this passage here that he's describing what it would be to walk with Jesus, to find your nourishment from Jesus, to find power in Jesus, to understand wisdom because of Jesus, to know how to handle situations with Jesus. There's so much that's here, you're going to be enticed. See, if you're a person that knows a lot about Jesus, and perhaps you even attend church or online or whatever it might be, you got to wonder in your own life if you're a fan versus a follower. And Jesus is talking to followers, not fans. And maybe you want to look at your own life and have a gut check spiritually as we begin this series to start right off and to say, am I a fan or am I a follower? Do I just like Jesus and do I like the things he says and do I like being around people that love him and because it's good for my soul? But yet I want to move from being a fan to being a follower. That's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. He's talking to people who are following, branch that's in me, that's connected to me. And then in verse one, he says that Jesus, that God the Father, is the vine dresser. Before I give you some images and illustrations about what vine dressing looks like, because I had to do some research. I don't know anything about agricultural vineyards. I had to do lots of research, and I looked at pictures and images. And as soon as I did, I was like, oh, it makes sense. But let me tell you, first of all, what Jesus is saying here. If you want, you can jot these things down. They're in the notes, actually, but just think through them. This is what Jesus is saying in these 11 verses. He's saying that I am the ultimate source for all of you. I am the place in which you can have the inner strength to handle whatever is going on in your life. Secondly, Jesus is saying that he wants us to be fruitful, and he wants us to be healthy, spiritually healthy. So we're thinking about not just being physically healthy, but we want to be spiritually healthy as well. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be fruitful. Abide in me. I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to be healthy as well. Jesus is saying, be aware. Be aware that I am always with you. That's why he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Be aware of the fact that Jesus is always with you. And when you connect with him, that is your source. And then lastly, he says that if you don't abide in him, if you and I don't abide in him, that we will lose all sense of purpose, all sense of meaning. Our life will be very confusing. I think that's what verse 6 is saying. Let's take a look at verse 6 again, because verse 6 is probably one of the most confusing verses in these 11. It says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branches and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. I think Jesus there is talking about the things in our life that get in the way, that distract us from staying connected or abiding in Jesus. And that is going to be tossed away, and that is going to be burned and have no significance at all in our lives as he's talking. And I think it's going to make a lot more sense when you begin to see what Jesus is saying here about God as the vine dresser. Take a look at verse 2. Because in verse 2, it describes what God wants to do in our spiritual life. In walking with Jesus, in this metaphor of a vine and branches and the vine dresser, I want you to see this. He says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God wants to do two things. One, he wants to take away the branches that are not bearing fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, he wants to prune. So there's two different things that God wants to do here. Let me illustrate this for you, because as we think about vine dressing, it's really important for us to understand that God wants to do two things. He's the source of it all, but he wants to do two things. And so I did some research, and this is what it looks like. This is a vine, and these are the branches. This is actually a vineyard, and I did some research. And what a vine dresser has to do is to come to the vine and quite regularly, actually, has to take off these lower branches, which are called sucker branches. And these sucker branches, they rob life, they rob sustenance, they rob nutrients, they get in the way of producing fruit, they take away the ability of the branch here growing fruit, actually. And so what the vine dresser does is come and cuts away or takes away, as we see in verse 2, all these branches that are not bearing fruit, meaning branches that get in the way of bearing fruit. And again, these are called sucker branches. And so what the vine dresser does is come in and remove these sucker branches and then prunes the top of it to give it shape. And that's the view that you have afterwards. You'll notice that there's nothing in the way of the vine and the branch. You'll notice that the pruning takes place so that the whole tree looks healthy and the leaves are about ready to give forth fruit, and that fruit comes because all of the sucker branches have been taken away and the vine itself and the branch have been pruned. And this is exactly what verse 2 is talking about. Let me put it in words, even though you can see the image here. See, God will do it, but we need to own it. God will do it, but we need to own it in our own life. It's going to take a gut check in our lives. It's going to take a pause for us to say, are there sucker branches in our lives that are robbing us from abiding with Jesus? And are there things in our lives that are happening, but not happening well, and God needs to prune those in our lives so that the life of God takes shape inside of us? That's exactly what's being said in verse 2. Secondly, the vine dresser is going to take away, as I said, and remove these sucker branches. And I'm going to talk about that with you right now. I want you to know that what God wants to do is to snap off these sucker branches in our lives. Things, activities, events, attitudes that suck life, that suck strength, that suck energy away from us. You know, I've been doing some research, actually, about COVID-19 and the impact that it's taken. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later in this series as we think about our own emotions and the emotional intelligence that we have. But in doing some research, I want to just give you a few things that might help you in understanding that as we go through life, it's very easy for sucker branches to come into our lives and will rob us of the power and the strength that comes from the vine. Research tells us that 51% of Americans today have either a medium or high distress in their life, where there's sleeplessness and anxiety and depression and loneliness and faster heart rates that are creating all kinds of cardiac issues for people because of the season that we find ourselves in right now. The research goes on to say that 42% of parents, that's almost 50%, 42% of parents are dealing with some kind of psychological distress because they have their kids and they're not sure whether their kids are going to go to school or whether they're going to go part-time. And some of us are already living that right now as kids have gone to school and some are doing hybrids and some are doing different things. And 42% of parents, particularly moms, are dealing with psychological distress because they don't know what to do and they don't have any time to themselves. And life seems to be collapsing in and imploding into their own lives. You know what the result of that is? The result is double-digit growth in addictions. Addictions to alcohol and addictions to drugs and addictions to food. Anger and rage is more prevalent than any time before, at least in the last number of years. I think you'd agree with me on that, right? That anger and rage is so prevalent in our community today. Self-absorption is very evident. It's more evident than ever before. People can't even care for other people because their lives are so self-absorbed with all these emotional things that we're dealing with. And we're invited, church, catch this, we're invited to allow the vine dresser to remove and take away the sucker branches. I've been thinking through mine. I want God to come and snap those sucker branches off. It's robbing me from life and strength and power. It might be as simple as an app or social media or the computer. Maybe it's consuming you because you're trying to find community and you're looking at everybody else's pictures, wondering, why doesn't my life look like that? Or maybe you're looking at an app and it's just, you just can't get away from it because you're so bored and isolated, and maybe that's happening in your life, and maybe that's a sucker branch and you need to pop that off and allow God to do it because he does it. You and I just need to own it. Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe it's some kind of a destructive behavior that nobody knows about. Maybe it's something that's going on in our lives that we need to allow God, the vine dresser, to snap off the sucker branches in our lives that are sucking the life right out of us as we take this gut check. It's so important for us to understand that God does this. We have to own it. And he will remove the sucker branches. But then thirdly, he does this. He prunes. He'll prune, giving the branches a noticeable shape. See, I have often heard, that pruning is about punishment, that God wants to somehow punish us. I don't think pruning is fun for that matter, but I don't think that God is punishing us. I think what God wants to do is prune us that we might be noticeably more like him, that our walk and life as we remain in him, as we abide in him, as John 15 says, that the shape of who we are will change and will be noticeably different in our life and walk with God. You know, what's interesting to me is that immediately when I read this and I think about this, I want to react a little bit, and so as I reacted in studying this, I want to make sure that you and I can react together. Make it very clear. In fact, if you forget everything else today, don't miss this. This is not about conforming. This is not about God trying to make us to conform a certain way. This is about us becoming. See, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that bad trees can even bear fruit. This is about us becoming. In fact, let me say it this way. This is about clearing that which blocks our soul of rest. This is about cleaning that which blocks our soul from being fed, that we might produce fruit in our lives. A gut check. See, pruning is so important in life. Because if we don't experience pruning by the loving hand of God to help us to see that maybe we aren't acting as good as we ought to in terms of our relationship, where goodness is there. Maybe there's not wisdom that we're after because we're trying to use our own wisdom. Maybe love is not where it needs to be in our lives. Perhaps faithfulness and truthfulness is not there in our lives. Maybe mercy and patience isn't where it ought to be, and God needs to prune that in our life. Maybe you aren't being a person of grace because there's so many different groups of people that are out there, and you're wondering, where do I fit, and all the different emotions that are there, being a person of grace, or maybe peace, which really is order. Scripture talks about peace as order. I want order in my life. I want peace in my life. And so we need to think about what God wants to do here in our lives. See, without pruning, we are nothing but foliage and no fruit. Without pruning, all we are is a fluffy bush that has no direction. Pruning gives us the opportunity to be healthy and to be fruitful in life. Jesus says this statement 10 times. If you read John 15, you'll read this statement 10 times. Abide in Jesus, or abide in me. Abide in me. 10 times Jesus says this. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Well, the first thing is, it means that we know God more. You see, knowing God is really the whole idea, that when we abide in him, we know him. When we abide in him, we're more aware that he's with us each and every day. When we abide with him, it produces fruit. See, the problem with us is oftentimes we're looking for the outcomes. We want to do something in our lives in order that there would be an outcome. The outcome is a byproduct. Really, what abiding in Jesus and abiding in him is, it's about knowing God and being aware that he's there. And he says that if we abide in him, there'll be fruit. Now, let me mention five things that John chapter 15 mentions about fruit. And here they are, quickly. You can look at them if you want. Fruit is when we have a deeper prayer life that's filled with answers. You remember we read that? To pray whatever you want and it will be answered. Because when you're connected, when you're abiding with Jesus, your prayer life deepens. And when your prayer life deepens, it's absolutely amazing what takes place. in your life. And so your prayer life is the fruit of you abiding and spending that time with Jesus. Secondly, characteristics that imitate God. You'll begin to see more characteristics. As I mentioned before, some of the things that are the characteristics of God will be very evident in your life. Thirdly, a fruit will be love. You'll have love for others that might even surprise you. As Jesus says, if you abide in me, my love will be in you. That love is far better than our love. And that love may even surprise us in the way we love people all around us. Fourthly, the fruit might be obedience. Obedience that results in God's lavishing more love and blessing in our lives. That when we abide in Jesus, we'll be desirous of being in obedience to all the things that God asks of us. And in fact, beyond verse 11, Jesus actually talks to his disciples about love. In fact, that love is what the people around the world will know us as disciples. And so obedience, which then just causes God to lavish more love and blessing in our lives, the outcomes, the byproducts of abiding in Jesus. Fourthly, joy that may not even make sense in our lives. When he says at the end there that we'll be filled with joy, we'll have complete joy. And that's a fruit, the byproduct of all of this. You know, church, I was thinking about this because I don't really know anything about agriculture. I don't really know anything about vineyards. I think I've been to 2 vineyards, I think, in my life. I didn't even think about them in terms of what happens to the vine and what happens to the branch and how the fruits grow. I didn't even connect with any of that, really, as I was visiting several different places when I lived in Northern California. But the reality is, there is something that I think all of us would connect with. When we think of abiding in Jesus, and when we think of a vine dresser, and when we think of being connected in a way where we get the source of power and nutrients and energy and life, the first thing that came to my mind was my cell phone. See, my cell phone, probably like your cell phone, that if you set it on the table and you leave it there, it's gonna die. I've noticed it on my cell phone that if I don't plug it in, if I don't connect it to something, that over time, actually things begin to change. The brightness actually goes down. There are things in there that sort of shut down. You can even actually go into safe mode where there's things that you can't do because there's not enough life. There's not enough power that's involved in this little device that so many of us are so connected to. And so you know what we do? We run for the nearest cable, don't we? We take a cable that looks a lot like this, and we take it and we plug it in. And this is the image that I have when I read John chapter 15, where 10 times Jesus says, abide in me, and I'll help you snap off the sucker branches. Abide in me, and I'll prune already what is good in your life to make it better. Abide in me, and life will begin to make sense from the inside out, because you'll have joy. You'll love like you never have before. Obedience will be something that you're drawn to. You see, you'll want to do the right things. And when you're connected like this, it's a source of power. It's a source of nutrients. It keeps you alive. It makes your days better. It makes your relationships stronger. It makes your parenting go smoother. It makes your emotions settled, because you can experience peace in the midst of a storm or a pandemic such as COVID. This is the image that I have. And so here's what I want you to do, church. Over the next week, every time you plug your phone in, your cell phone, whatever it might be, Apple, Android, LG, whatever it is, whenever you plug your phone in, I want you to get the image that in your spiritual life, it takes a gut check. Are you walking with God in a way where you are abiding in him, where you are connected, where you're spending the time and aware that he is with you all the time? I want to end here with just 3 questions. 3 questions that I think will help us today as we think through this. Question number 1, what are your sucker branches? What are the things in your life as you take a gut check today in your own spiritual life? What are the things that you want God, because he'll do it, you just have to own it, where you want God to snap off a sucker branch that's robbing you of life? Robbing you of emotions, robbing you of being the right husband, robbing you of being the right wife, robbing you in your single life, robbing you so that isolation seems to be everything that you're thinking about? What is it? What's the sucker branch that needs to come off? Second question, where do you need pruning? In other words, you might say to yourself, you know, I feel like I'm loving people around me, but as I see the culture happening now, I want to love more, and asking God to prune that so that you love more. Or maybe you want to be a person of goodness where as you see neighbors and friends and as you go to different places and as you see people who aren't wearing masks and you want to be a person of goodness and you're asking God to prune that in your life, to shape you to be more like him in characteristic. Second question. Here's the third question, probably the most important question. Are you connected to Jesus? Are you a person that says, you know what, I have surrendered my life? Because you know, a gut check starts right there. It's not the end of the conversation, it's actually the beginning of the conversation. If you're gonna take a gut check in terms of your life with God, your spiritual life, if you're gonna take a look at the dashboard of your spiritual life, the conversation starts there. Are you connected? If you're not, it's as simple as you saying, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I invite you into my life. I want to abide in you. I can't do life on my own. I can't process things without you. I want to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that a great prayer? If you prayed that prayer today, I hope you'll let somebody know. I hope you'll email me or email somebody in a small group, maybe that you're part of, or right there in the chat section, let us know. We would love to know, because as we go through this series and we take a gut check, it starts right there. Stay connected. May this be a visual image as we go through this week and think through what it means to abide in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we've had this opportunity to worship today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how clear it is. Lord, thank you for these metaphors that sometimes we don't even understand, that when we can bring them into our own culture today, it makes sense. It makes sense. Father, you know that I have talked to you about a few sucker branches that I want snapped off. Lord, you know a couple things that I've asked you to prune in my life. And I pray that for every person that's joining us today. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take a gut check, to look inside, search us, oh God, and know our hearts. Thank you, Father, for your great love, that you do this out of your love for us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with people who are hurting, who are confused. I pray, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones. We've had families in our church family this week that have lost loved ones. We pray for your comfort in their lives. We pray, Lord, for marriages that have just begun. We pray, Lord, that you would give them strength, even though they didn't get to celebrate the way they probably wanted to. We pray, Lord, for our middle school and high school, Lord, as they navigate all of this. We pray for our elementary kids who are in school. Some are in class, some are not, some are doing hybrid, all these different things. Father, I pray for parents who are dealing with psychological issues because of the sense that there's no break. I pray, God, that you would give them white space in their life. Father, help us to be a church that is aware of the concerns of our community, that you would help us. Lord, be with us as we go through this series, as we take a gut check. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.